discussing my master's research on the use of digital image analysis to evaluate disease severity and the incorporation of this method into the process of breeding for disease resistance. According to the National Agricultural Statistics Services, over 1.7 million acres of turf were reported as being maintained in the state of Virginia in 2004. Of this number, 62% were maintained as home lawns, many of which are established in tall fescue, since this turf type is particularly well-suited to our temperate transition zone climate. Tall fescue is susceptible to a number of diseases, the most common and devastating of which is brown patch, caused by the fungus Rhizoctonia solani. There are a number of disease management options for controlling brown patch on tall fescue. However, as government regulations on the production and application of chemical controls becomes more stringent, alternative options, such as planting disease-resistant cultivars, have become more prevalent as a means of disease control. There are a number of tall fescue cultivars that have some resistance level to brown patch. However, the resistance response of these cultivars has been seen to be quite variable across locations in trials such as the National Turfgrass Evaluation Program. We believe that two factors may be contributing to this overall variability, and these are the subjective rating system used to evaluate the resistance response of these cultivars, along with the fungus Rhizoctonia Z, which may be confounding results. Turfgrass is typically rated on a scale of 1 to 9, with 1 representing complete disease and 9 representing no disease, or a 0 to 100 percentage scale. Both of these scales are subjective since they're done using visual evaluations, meaning that there can be high amounts of variability between raters due to differences in things like experience or training levels, as well as within single ratings done by or ratings done by a single evaluator from things such as light quality or even mood. We believe that Rhizoctonia Z may also be contributing to this variability. Now, brown patch is caused by Rhizoctonia solani. However, Rhizoctonia Z, which is the causal agent of Rhizoctonia leaf and sheath spot, causes symptoms very similar to brown patch, and often the two cannot be distinguished under field conditions. We believe that Rhizoctonia Z may be artificially inflating disease severity levels when evaluating the resistance response of resistant cultivars. This leads me to my objectives. In order to reduce this variability, we hope to develop a digital image analysis method for use in determining the disease severity of brown patch on tall fescue. Once we develop this method, we'd like to use it to evaluate the resistance response of tall fescue germplasm to both Rhizoctonia solani and Rhizoctonia ZE. The first step in developing a digital image analysis, DIA for short, method is to quantify it to assure that it is accurately assessing disease severity. Now, past studies done by Karcher, Richardson, and Purcell on determining turfgrass cover using DIA quantified their method by using plugs of a known diameter set against bare soil to determine actual values. DIA was then used, and predicted values were compared to actual values using regression analysis, and these showed a very high correlation with an R-squared of 0.99, a slope of 1, and an intercept near 0. For determining disease severity, since lesions rarely have the decency to occur in consistent shapes that are easily measured, we had to create artificial lesions. This was done using a rectangular hole punch to cut out actual lesions from Kentucky 31 infected with Rhizoctonia solani. These lesions were attached to healthy tissue or healthy leaves using a spray adhesive and actual values calculated. DIA using APS assess was then used to determine the percent disease severity using hue thresholding. Total leaf area was done with a range of 31 to 191, which can be seen in picture C right here, and total lesion area using a range of 31 and 87, which can be seen in picture B. Percent disease was determined from a ratio of the lesion area to the total leaf area. This is a regression analysis with percent disease on the x-axis and digital analysis predicted values on the y-axis. As you can see, the two were highly correlated with an R-squared of 0.97, a slope near 1, and an intercept near 0. Using this method as a standard of accuracy, we then compared three other methods of disease evaluation. A visual analysis by three trained evaluators, digital analysis of individual leaves using a sample of 10 leaves, as well as digital analysis of the whole pot. This was done by growing Kentucky 31 in containers, placing them in a randomized complete block design with 4 replications and 6 treatments, either a control in 0 to 8 days for the first and second run, and a control in 0 to 12 days for the third run. Disease severity was evaluated in the following order. First, a visual rating done by 3 trained evaluators, followed by a whole pot DIA method using a pre-inoculation picture, a post-inoculation picture, and the differences in disease severity as calculated by the DIA method determining the overall percent disease. This was then followed by an individual leaf DIA method using first all of the leaves from the pot and then a sample of 10 leaves. For the results of this study, I'm going to show a lot of regression analysis charts with percent disease as determined by the individual leaf DIA method on the x-axis and either percent disease by visual evaluator, by the whole pot method, or by the individual leaf sample method on the y-axis. Run 1 is represented in blue and run 2 is represented in red. This is from visual evaluator 2's determination of percent disease severity. And as you can see, the difference between run 1 and run 2 is there's a pretty big gap right there, which shows that the evaluator was overestimating disease in the first run as disease severity increased and underestimating disease in the second run. Looking at visual evaluator 3's determination of percent disease severity, you can see there's a big gap between run 1 and run 2, where they were very much underestimating disease as disease severity increased. You can also see that the actual values determined by the DIA method were not well correlated with the second run for this visual analysis. Another problem can be seen by looking at a comparison of the AOV means between the visual evaluators. Percent disease is on the y-axis and treatment on the x-axis. You can see there's a lot of variability between the significant differences picked out by these evaluators. Visual evaluator 1 is represented in blue, visual evaluator 2 in maroon, and visual evaluator 3 in cream. And the letters above the columns represent significant differences between treatments as evaluated by a single evaluator. Looking at visual evaluator 1, you can see that the 8-day treatment had significantly more disease, the 0-day treatment had significantly less disease, and the 2-day treatment was not significantly different from either the 0-day or the untreated check. However, the visual evaluator 2's determination of treatments was that the 8-day treatment had significantly more disease, and the rest of the treatments, there were no differences. And visual evaluator 3 said that the 8-day treatment had significantly more disease. However, the 6-day and 0-day treatments were not significantly different from either the 8-day or the untreated check. Variability like this would not go over well in trials in determining differences across locations and across evaluators. Things that might be contributed to differences in treatment could actually be due to the variability in the visual evaluation. Looking at a regression analysis for the DIA methods using the individual leaves with all of the leaves represented on the x-axis and the sample of 10 leaves on the y-axis, you can see that they were both correlated, but more importantly, the two lines have a lot more similar slope and intercept, showing that they were more consistently evaluating percent disease. Also, with the comparison of AOV means between the two DIA individual leaf methods, you can see they didn't pick out any significant differences, but they ranked all of the treatments the same, whereas the visual evaluations did not rank these the same. Regression analysis comparing the whole pot method to the individual leaf method with the whole pot method on the y-axis and percent disease as calculated by the individual leaf method on the x-axis shows that the two were correlated with an r-squared of 0.92. However, this method was only evaluated in the third run of this study as we were still developing it during the first and second run. So more research needs to be done to evaluate whether this method can consistently evaluate percent disease. Once we had determined a method, we then used it to screen for resistance using 12 accessions, including 9 plant introductions, obtained from Scott Warren Key of the USDA Turfgrass Breeding and Genetics Program, as well as 3 established cultivars, including Falcon, which performed very well in the National Turfgrass Evaluation Program for brown patch resistance, Stetson, which was one of the low performers in this evaluative program, and Kentucky 31, which is often used as a standard for disease resistance of brown patch. 4 mature plants were grown per pot with 4 replications and placed in a randomized complete block design. These were inoculated first with Rhizoctonia solani in the first screen and then with Rhizoctonia Z in the second screen. They were maintained under disease pressure for 9 days, then allowed a 24-hour drying period to increase the contrast between lesion and healthy tissue, and the whole pot method was used to evaluate disease severity. Results from this study can be seen in this chart with the AOV comparison of means. Percent disease is represented on the y-axis and the plant accessions on the x-axis. Not surprisingly, Falcon and Stetson and Kentucky 31 did not show significant differences from the untreated check. These had the lowest amount of disease compared to the rest of the PIs. However, PI 1, 3, and 16 showed some promise, also showing no significant differences from the untreated check. So these are ones that we'll look into further with future screenings. So our future research will include an initial screening of the remaining PIs that we have. The promising PIs from this study will be subject to a more thorough screening, including 20 seeds per accession, with each seed screened as a genetic entity. The winners from this screening will then be sent to Dr. Scott Warnke of the USDA Genetics and Breeding Program, who will use recurrent selection to breed for disease resistance to both Rhizoctonia solani and Rhizoctonia zee. With that, I'd like to thank my advisory committee, Dr. Horvath, Dr. Askew, Dr. Goatley, and Dr. Bodwin, as well as the USDA and Dr. Scott Warnke for their funding and cooperation with this project. Are there any questions? The question was, when we took the sample of leaves, did we take multiple samples from that set of leaves to see whether there was variability in those samples? And no, we did not do that. But we are going to do that study a couple more times, and we probably will do that in future studies.
I have time for one more question.
All right. Thank you very much.